welcome back to another episode of Barely Legal in Web3. Singapore has recently made some changes to its Payment Services Act. Today I had the chance to speak to Chris Holland from HM, based in Singapore, on his thoughts on the significance of these changes. Chris, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Chris, I understand there's been an amendment to the Payment Services Act in Singapore. Can you tell us a bit more about the amendment and why people should be interested in learning about this change?
Sure. So the amendment has been a long time in the making. I think it was originally passed in 2020, but it hadn't gone effective. And obviously between 2020 and now, there's been a ton of developments in the cryptocurrency industry, including need for more safeguarding and more investor protection. So the amendments cover additional regulated activities, and we can get that in a second. But until they went into effect, they were completely unregulated. So if you had a custody business, that was a completely unregulated activity. With the amendments going into effect, all those businesses potentially have to apply for a license, right? And the Amendment Act was announced on Tuesday, and it went into effect on Thursday. So for anybody who's conducting some of the activities that are covered by the Amendment Act, at least in Singapore, if they're conducting it in Singapore, they have to take a view about whether they want to keep doing it in Singapore, how they're going to apply for a license, what staffing they need, et cetera. And I'm happy to walk through the whole process with it. But that is the big activity, because there's a bunch of companies that run these businesses that now need to consider applying for a license basically in the next 6 months.
Chris, you mentioned that there are some changes that people may have to make in terms of their current activities, and these might even be a financial impact on the company in terms of resources. Can you talk about some of the highlights or the key changes that are major in the amendment?
Sure. So let me sort of walk through where we are in the calendar, basically. The amendment went into effect yesterday. And now companies who think they're doing the regulated activities, the in-scope regulated activities, and those are generally unregulated domestic money transfer services, previously unregulated cross-border money transfer services, and then the unregulated DPT services, the crypto services, which are basically safeguarding or custodying cryptocurrencies, inducing or attempting someone to induce purchasing or selling a cryptocurrency, and arranging or facilitating the transfer of cryptocurrencies. All those things are newly regulated activities. So by May 3rd, you have to notify the MAS that you are doing these activities and want to apply for a license, if you want to apply for a license. You're exempt until May 3rd, and then May 3rd, there's a notification date. Then by October 3rd, you have to apply for the license. You have to submit that application. And there's a draft form on the MAS website, and that has more detailed information that has less time. And then 9 months, so I think it's January 3rd, 2025, the MAS has a new requirement for an attestation report. And that's where you have to have an accounting firm vet your AML policy and also the conduct that you were doing prior to yesterday to make sure you're eligible for the exemption and that your policies and procedures meet the MAS governance requirements. So between now and October 3rd, where you got to submit the license, and then you hire an accounting firm to do this audit, and I know you and I love audits, you know, we could breeze through them, but a lot of people have trouble. And that's where the cost comes in, right? There's a limited number of accounting firms that can do this. You cannot hire a law firm to do it. You cannot hire a management consulting firm. It has to be an audit firm that is has done these type of audits before. And I believe the MAS may have the potential to even prove the auditor that you choose. So there might be a limited group of qualified people to do this audit, and they have to get it done within 9 months of yesterday, right? So that's a lot of work in and of itself, aside from the application. And so being licensed, right, you need a compliance program, you need effective policies and procedures, you have to submit an AML policy and an enterprise-wide risk assessment with your license application, right? So there's a lot of work to do. You may have been focused on your business and having a profitable business, and being compliant makes you even more profitable, no doubt. But there are work streams now on corporate governance that are going to be busy the next 6 months.
This timeline seems very tight. So Tuesday, this amendment was announced. It went into effect Thursday, which is yesterday for us. There are things that need to be done by May 1st and at least some sort of identification of where a company stands. Why do you think it's such a tight timeline for such an emerging industry?
Sure. So May 3rd, people have till May 3rd to submit that notification. The Payment Services Amendment Act, what has been intended to be covered, has been around for years. So companies that have been operating a custody business, right, they kind of knew that this was coming. It's really for the people who are like, should I be doing something in Singapore? Do I want to be here or not? How much time do I have to decide? And suddenly that said, nope, we're going live Tuesday. We're going live Thursday, and we're announcing that on Tuesday. So that was very abrupt. There was no heads up that this was coming immediately. It's kind of like you always know it was coming, but we also thought it would happen in 2022 and 2023. There was nothing magic about April 2024 that put this on the radar. So suddenly Tuesday, we all see it, and it's like, okay, what do we have to do? I'd say the next thing is that the forms have changed. So the attestation report was not a requirement under the original Payment Services Act application process. And in the notification, you had less level of detail. So now in the notification, you have to say, how many customers do you have? How many transactions do you have? And you need to make sure you had something as of Thursday. So that is not necessarily a requirement for the exemption, but it's something the auditors are going to audit, and the MAS is going to want to see these things as proof that you were actually operating prior to the go live date, right? So whereas you had no idea you had to necessarily give this information to the MAS May 3rd, and now on Tuesday you learn, no, I have to have all these answers ready for May 3rd, right? That's a lot happening. I want to say that part of the reason may be to make sure that people who are going to apply for the license are really committed to Singapore and we're here like naturally, as opposed to a last minute flight to get here, right, to capitalize in it. So I think that was one aspect of it all. But certainly, we've all had years to look at the Amendment Act, and it's something that, you know, not shocking. It was just that particular moment. Oh, my goodness, it's finally here.
Are these requirements, I mean, you mentioned the requirement to have an auditing firm specifically to look at things, the attestation. Are these requirements on par with other licenses that Singapore would give out typically in the payments industry?
So I think across the payments industry, this is now the expectation, right? And certainly digital assets is a high, there's a lot of questions about corporate governance and AML practices. And so the MAS wants to anchor the best in class players, right? They're looking for people with robust compliance programs. If you apply to be a capital markets broker dealer or a fund manager, this attestation report does not exist, right? So at least to that degree, the payments regime is different. Now, is it more onerous than banks? I can't say that. And I am actually not even fully up to speed on every form you have to fill out for banks. But certainly it's a more rigorous application than what you would see in the capital markets form. I'd also say that the MAS definitely wants the digital asset space to up their game in terms of compliance and wants to make sure everybody is taking this very seriously. So if the application deters you, then maybe you wouldn't be right for a license in Singapore generally, because corporate governance is very important in this jurisdiction.
Certainly, Singapore has, you know, a reputation for having these sorts of standards in place. And that's part of the reason why companies want to do business in Singapore, is because it's transparent, it's predictable, there is financial stability, there is consumer protection. For those companies that, you know, maybe don't have all of their ducks in a row and they're not up to speed, what are the risks for them? I'd imagine that there are probably some fines and penalties that could be in the balance waiting for non-compliance with this amendment.
Right. So everything was okay until sort of Thursday, right, where these were unregulated activities. Now you are exempt until May 3rd and you have to submit that notification, right? So the key now is, do you want to be in Singapore? Why? Or is there a way to modify your business that you're not caught by these activities? All of that will be done on a case-by-case basis. Starting May 3rd, I mean, everything and always anything you tell the MAS, disclose to the MAS, has to be thoroughly considered, has to be truthful in all respects and not misleading in any respect. So I'd say that's the first thing you have to really look at is making sure your disclosure standards are up to par. Secondly, the MAS is now willing to see how you've been disclosing things to your customers, your terms of business, what AML have you done, and things like that. If you haven't done those things, it's going to be hard to see how you're going to get a license unless you're willing to be more or less a regulated financial institution. Now, for crypto firms, they are closer to Citigroup, right, and DBS than they are close to anything cryptocurrency related outside a mainstream FATF jurisdiction, right? So I think that's where people in the digital asset industry, if you've been operating on like, oh, we're a fintech, break fa move fast and break things, right? That is not the way regulated financial institutions operate. And if that's the way you intend to go, I think it's going to be a painful application where there's no guarantee of success, right? It's an onerous application. The MAS doesn't have to give you that license. Now you are grandfathered, you are exempt. Assuming you get the application in and the attestation in, you are exempt until you get approved, until you get rejected, or you withdraw the application. So you get to continue on your business for however long it takes, assuming you meet those milestones. But the MAS will engage on your application. And if you're not up to what they expect, then they will say, easily potentially say you may need to withdraw. And then that you'll have to wind down the business in Singapore.
Sounds like the conservative thing to do would be to go ahead and at least attempt to submit and to apply and see where you stand rather than ignoring everything and putting your head in the sand.
Head in the sand. I mean, we all do it from time to time, right, Jamilia? I'm not going to say I've never done that, but it's not going to work here because if you have not submitted the notification by May 3rd and then you continue to operate, that's a clear breach, right? And then there's a range of penalties that could apply to you. Yeah, and Singapore is not going to tolerate. You can't publicly advertise towards retail people cryptocurrencies, right? Frankly, you wouldn't be shocked if regulators make examples of certain, actors who are not following the law. So you have to be prepared to engage and you have to be serious-minded about it. If you're serious-minded and acting in good faith, common sense will get you a lot of the way. But the issue is common sense doesn't pay the auditors, right? Common sense doesn't write your AML policy. So you also have to make sure your business is viable, either profitable enough, or you have investors who are willing to fund it for a while till you get to profitability. And then you go on your journey. The MAS guides that 6 months after getting a case officer, hopefully, if everything's ready, you might get approval in principle, might get a license. But a lot of cases take longer than that, and there's no assurance exactly when you will get a case officer. So we've been telling clients to budget anywhere from 1 year to 3 years to there being no guarantee about how long this process could take.
It's certainly not the time to put your head in the sand. It's the time to really find out what Singapore is requiring. If you're in Singapore and you're operating in this space, for sure. Chris, partner at HM, based in Singapore, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me. Always a pleasure.